Greetings, troubled listeners. Welcome back to the Troubled Men Podcast. I am Renee Coleman, sitting once again in Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge in the heart of the Klempire, with my co-host, the original troubled man for troubled times, Mr. Manny Chevrolet. Welcome, Manny.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being had.
It's nice and quiet at this dump.
Yeah, it's super quiet. Yeah. Now, you know, the other night, I thought I might see you here. Monday night, they had Anthony Bourdain's 70th birthday party.
Yeah, well, he's dead.
He's been dead. He's still dead. He was dead the other night. But, man, it was packed. It was packed with people.
Yeah, I was going to make it, but I decided not to because I thought it was going to be packed. And then I talked to Dave Clements earlier today, and he said it was uncomfortably packed.
It was. We came in and you know, I waited to get a drink. I mean, it took me about 15 minutes to get a drink, and that's with me knowing both of the bartenders.
Right, yeah.
But it was fun, you know, just to now, as I was talking to Dave and talking to Tony Toko at the event, and we're discussing the large crowd, and then somehow the Trump Great American State Fair that's going on down there for the 250th anniversary.
Great
year. And we were saying how there's more people here for Anthony Bourdain's 70th birthday than they have at that thing on the mall.
Because it's the great unfair is what it is.
Sure, okay.
All right.
I like it.
I was going to go, but I was never a big fan of Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew he had the mental problems. In fact, they just made a biopic about him.
Huh, really?
Which is supposed to come out very soon, I think. Hmm. Or maybe it already did come out. I get these movie trailers sent to me. But it's all about his early life. It's not about the last 20 years or so of his life. It's about his, like, from teenager to, like, into his 30s, and that's it.
Is it kind of based on that book or something?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I never read
it
the book. But
it's about his early life where he just happened to, he was a busboy or a dishwasher. Uh-huh. Some guy, Antonio Banderas, yes, that's him, takes him under his wing.
Oh, wow.
And mentors him.
Huh.
Kind of to become what he became, which was a suicidal act, you know. But
suicidal extra dope fiend.
Yeah. But I got
food.
Yeah, I kind of like watching his show that he had on there, where he'd go visit places and stuff.
Yeah.
And he liked kind of the places that I like. You know, he loved In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
You know, he loved that place. It was like his favorite place to get a burger in SoCal.
Well, he loved Snake and Jake's.
Yeah. Well, that's what I don't think about him.
That's where his taste was a little bit unshaken. Ground.
Yeah, no, but I knew it was going to be too big because it was advertised like on NOLA.com and stuff like that. So I was like, I don't think so, because I, you know, right now I feel uncomfortable in this place. You know, just imagine with all the people, you know. So
and you've had World Cup fever. You still
I got the
still,
cup fever.
Still,
still burning. It's going on for another 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, I haven't seen 5 minutes of any of it. So I hear y'all talk about it, and I think, oh, should I try to get invested in this? And I think,
well, you're not a sports guy.
You know,
you
certain
don't
things.
Like sports.
I like combat sports.
Like what? Paintball,
boxing. Mixed martial arts.
So you're kind of one of those bourgeois people to watch poor black guys beat the shit out of each other.
I don't know. There's all kind of
you're
people.
You're probably like Django Unchained, where they watch those two guys just kill each other while they're sipping wine and stuff in front of the fireplace.
Hey, whatever it takes.
I think that's what you're like.
Yeah, whatever. But, sure, why not?
Because you like combat sports.
I love combat sports. But
would you ever partake in a combat sport?
Yeah, that's the question.
Oh, fuck no. Absolutely not.
Well, yeah,
not.
See, that's how bourgeois you are. You
well,
would never
I mean,
do it.
Are you going to play soccer? Are you going
to
go play football?
Soccer.
Are you going
to
play basketball?
Well,
maybe?
I used to.
Professionally? No.
Well, no, I can't because I'm not that talented.
Right. Well, so, you know, it's like, I don't think I need to participate in a sport to enjoy watching it.
But is boxing a sport, or is it just two guys beating the shit out of each other?
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the difference between combat sports.
Now, do you watch the WWE? Do you like that stuff?
No, not at all.
You know?
No.
Because it's all fake.
Well,
wrestling, boxing, yeah. it's all Vegas, man.
Well, yeah, boxing
it's
is
all
boxing
Vegas.
Is corrupt. No, MMA
not
is
boxing,
not. Is not so, well, boxing definitely has. Yeah, I've seen plenty of fights where you clearly one guy won and they give it to the other guy. The judges give it to the other guy.
It's all Vegas, dude.
Right, but you know, I don't know. Anyway, you know, I see some of the esoteric terms that they refer to in the FIFA, the World Cup, and I think, you know, I think if I were to even spend enough time to learn what that is, I feel like I would lose IQ
points. Give us an example of one of these terms.
I can't even remember, you know, the knockout round or the...
That's where we are now.
It's all the stuff.
That's where we are now,
the
knockout round. Win or go home.
Okay, well, I understand.
That's what the knockout round is.
Again, it's nothing I need to know.
You're just upset because Israel didn't have a team in the World Cup.
I couldn't care either way. I couldn't care about the World Cup either way. Anyway, other news. Well, I saw Mel Brooks turned 100. Did you see that?
Is he alive?
He's still alive, yes.
Holy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, still sharp, too.
He outlived Anthony Bourdain.
He did. He did. Outlived Carl Reiner, outlived Rob Reiner.
Wonder if he's still funny.
He is. No, there was a documentary that was released last year, I think on Netflix. It's called The 99-Year-Old Man. And he's interviewed extensively in it. He has total recall of every part of his life.
But they don't show that he's sitting on a toilet the whole time.
Well,
the
they shoot him from the
neck down.
Right, right. Okay.
They shoot him from the neck down because during the interviews, they're actually changing his diapers.
Oh, boy.
You know. Neck up, you mean.
They said that about Trump this week, but that's neither here nor there.
I believe that more than Mel Brooks seems to be more with it. Well, you know who's not alive? I saw while we were on a little break there was Gene Shalit.
Yes.
Now, Rex Reed, his contemporary, passed away maybe a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys are just ticking
Rex
off.
Rex Reed's dead.
Rex Reed is dead, yeah.
I got to quit teaching him.
Quite dead. You having a correspondence course with Rex Reed?
Movies. I have a movie class. You know,
okay.
Cinema.
Uh-huh.
Just cinema class.
Uh-huh.
Not anymore, because he's
not,
dead.
He's not for him.
Yeah,
but Gene Shalit now has also joined Rex Reed and the group of former
and there were two critics that could either make or break a film. Not like today where everybody's a critic and has a say, and movies get popular even if they're not popular at the box office. They'll end up. But those guys back in the 70s and 80s. You know, if they gave a bad review, it was over. You know, and that's, I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, because there's plenty of movies like I disagreed with them and Siskel and Ebert about. You know, they gave a thumbs down to a movie, which I loved. You know, so fuck those guys. They're all dead now, too.
Right.
Siskel, not
the movie
Ebert.
Critic is dead.
Oh, Ebert. Isn't he? I think Ebert's dead.
Yeah, Ebert died.
I still teach him. So my students.
When you say teach him, you mean you talk about him in class.
Well, my students have to find him.
Oh,
you know, they have to find critics.
Well, he's 6 feet under if they want to find him.
All right, he's not moving.
But he's still published.
Well,
that's all they care about.
Ebert though was also a filmmaker. He wrote and made a couple films.
Right.
Well, let's hope he's not dead.
Yeah, was that dead? Beneath something, one of the
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. I think that's what he wrote. He wrote the screenplay for that.
Right. I think
Ebert?
That's true.
Yeah, I think so.
Roger
You're teaching
Ebert.
This? You don't even know?
Yeah, come on.
Well,
man.
I'm not. I'm not teaching deep.
The esoterica. You're not.
So basically, you're
anymore.
In an empty room, thinking that you're in a classroom. Well, what's going on with you?
No,
I don't understand.
My
this
students are empty. So
your students
they
are
don't
empty.
Know who's dead, who's alive, what movies are about.
I got to get back to Earth now soon. So let's.
In his closet, screaming into a pillow.
Yeah, you're like that guy who thinks he's doing a conga line, but he's really just in a padded room in a cell.
I'm an adjunct. Sure. Can you be an adjunct crazy person?
Adjunctee.
Yeah, there you
adjunctee.
Go.
Adjunctee, perfect.
You got anything else, Manny?
I got plenty.
Okay, go on.
You know, we're now July 2nd, and June was your month, right? Pride month.
Okay.
That's your month.
Yeah, you've
you and your community.
That.
Now, okay. You had a great time.
Sure,
during your Pride month. You and your community.
It all came out just fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So now, is there like a letdown after June?
The letdown, the build up to the letdown?
Yeah.
You know, it's getting hot in New Orleans. That's a bit of a letdown, but not as hot as it's going to get. So.
Yeah, it's really brutal. It's horrible.
But, you know, it does just... prepare you for when so it's about 92 right now at the height of the day. It feels unbearable, but I know that it will get to be 98, at which point 92 will feel like a real relief. So
yeah,
enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, it's horrible out there. I don't know how Dave's out there doing yard work.
Yeah,
like,
you know, keeps him young. He's sweating.
No, he's doing it because the city's going to fucking put him in jail if he doesn't do it.
Sure.
You know, they're going to fine him hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's
right,
why he's doing it.
Right.
I don't understand why he doesn't just sell this block. He could fucking move to
the Klemperer.
Bora Bora.
Sure.
And have fun there with Hora Horas.
Right.
You know. But anyway, also, I don't know if you knew this. The very last of the Hooters restaurants closed down.
Huh. Oh,
yeah, and...
too bad.
Where was that?
I think the last one was somewhere in Maryland.
Now, were you a fan of the Hooters restaurant chain?
I wasn't a fan. I went to a Hooters, I think, twice in my life.
I don't think I
just
was
happened
ever
to gone to a Hooters. And after I left, I would always put on the tip, you know, I'd write the tip down, and I would say, thanks for the mammaries.
Oh, very nice.
You know?
Sure.
So I did that.
And with the wordplay. Yeah.
And I don't mind Hooters. And the funny thing I remember the last time I was at a Hooters, I think it was maybe 20 years ago, I was with some friend of mine, and the table next to us was with a wife and husband with like five kids.
Yeah, family.
It was a family trip to Hooters. And one of the kids was only like 9 months old and just kept looking at the Hooters going, ready. Lunch, maybe,
he's
lunch.
He's ready to nurse.
Yeah,
sure,
you know, there's lunch, mama.
Right.
Feed me. You know, that kind of stuff.
Eating out. You
know, never thought of that in Hooters.
Yeah, well... You know. And also this coming up, I know you're a big fan of Taylor Swift. She's getting she's getting married at the Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
How egotistic is that, man? Yeah. I'm going to get married at the biggest venue in New York City, and no one's invited except my friends, you know.
Huh, well, she have that many? Yeah, she have that many friends? I don't know.
She's got a lot of these Swifties would fucking kill to go be a part.
Well,
of
yeah, but she's going to let all the rabble in, really?
Well,
maybe
I
for
know.
The big bucks. Maybe
I
she's.
Don't know,
oh, she's going to. She's going to sell tickets.
What I'm curious about, you know, these weddings. It's a traditional wedding, I think. Who will be the ring boy at this wedding?
Hmm.
You know, or the flower girl. Who is she going to let be the ring boy and flower girl?
All right, you have some ideas?
Me and my daughter were talking about it. And my daughter said that Timothy Chalamet is going to be the ring boy.
That sounds good. I like that.
Yeah, he's going to be the ring boy. And the flower girl, we were debating whether it's going to be Jennifer Coolidge or Patrick Mahomes as the flower girl.
Okay.
I go for Patrick.
I can see Patrick, you know, he's got a sense of humor.
Girl.
He's got a sense of humor.
And he's
about
got that fucking gay haircut, you know. So I could see him being a flower girl.
All right.
You know, and Jennifer Coolidge would be fun because she'd be like, ooh, this is nice, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right. She's always,
you know,
always.
She's hilarious. We love her.
Yes.
The family loves her.
Yeah. She's
but yeah, other than that, you know, 4th of July is on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
This in 2 days from now, and I was thinking this, you know, because I was looking. I don't buy fireworks anymore, but fireworks used to have the coolest names. You know, you go to the fireworks stand. I grew up in California, so by 1980 they were outlawed fireworks. But there was a time in my youth where we'd go buy fireworks, and they always had really cool names. But now here's a little quiz for both of you.
Right.
I'm going to just say a couple names,
okay,
and you're going to tell me if they're a firework or a porno film, because this is real stuff.
Okay.
Now, which is it? Cherry Bomb or Cherry Pop? Which is the firework and which is the porno film?
Oh. Cherry Bomb.
Is what?
Is the firework.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
You got that right.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, porno film or firework? Multi-shot are shot in the dark. Porno.
I'll say it's a porno.
Which one? Multi-shot?
Oh,
or shot in the dark?
Oh, you're changing the multi-shot?
Okay. That's a firework. Porno.
Really? Multi-shot?
Yeah.
Huh, I'm not familiar
absolutely.
With that one.
Shot in the dark is a porno film.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And here's another one. Porno or firework? Choose either one. Horse tail or tail of the horse?
Horse tail.
Is what?
Firework.
Ding, ding, ding. You got it. All right. All right. One last one. Porno or firework? Super finale or super duper?
Boy.
I don't know. You got
super
me.
Finale's a firework.
You got it, man.
Right.
Give this man a drink.
Right.
Pissing it for me.
Okay. I grew
all
up
right.
in Louisiana. I lived in California most of my life. But
okay.
We had...
And you were
I had a brother-in-law who insisted on buying, you know, $5,000 worth of fireworks.
Oh, God.
And just good luck to your hands.
Yeah, yeah, and your face.
Mostly my
and your house.
Sure, sure, your neighbor's house.
Your neighbor's house.
But we didn't have any neighbors, so that was helpful.
Okay. You grew up on a farm or something?
Yeah. Not a compound. Not a working
farm. You were on a compound, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, kind of a Waco-type situation there.
And my dad wishes it were a working farm, but just a hilltop and the crossroads.
Oh.
Non-working farm.
We had cows.
All right.
You could raise cows there. It was a bad thing.
All right.
Well, you know, we've been chronicling the movement of the phrase, welcome in, across the country. So this week, I had three people in 2 days tell me welcome in as I walked into their business.
Really?
It's coming. It's, with the greater frequency. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Well, keep an ear out for it. Now, it's an odd phrase, welcome in, but you will hear people like coming into a restaurant or a store somewhere. Just keep an ear
out
for it.
Not saying welcome, just welcome in.
Welcome in, yes, specifically that.
Just some sort of corporate...
And the last person that said it to me, it was out at the Batcher on that little development that they have out there. And I said, and when he said it to me, my wife looked at me like, oh, okay, there's another one. And I said, why are you saying it like that? And he goes, what do you mean? I welcome everybody. And I said, no, why are you saying welcome in? When did you start doing that? He goes, I don't know.
What's
no recollection.
The Batcher?
It's, you know, part of the land that's on the other side of the levee, between the levee and the river.
Now, what are you doing out there?
Well, they have a whole development that they put in right behind the Corps of Engineers building. And there's a whole bunch of food trucks and a whole developed area out there.
I didn't even know you could develop that shit.
It's really lovely. It's the first time I'd been there. You can drive over. There's a drive over the levee. There's a road. There's a parking lot. It's all organized. And have, you know, 4, 5, 6 food trucks. They have all kind of Adirondack chairs out there, a whole developed area. You can sit and watch the sunset across the river, you know. It's an unobstructed view of the river. It's beautiful.
Welcome in.
Welcome in, man. All right, and one other thing is a troubled listener, former Troubled Men podcast guest, Rob Hudak, texted me.
Hudak?
Hudak. He was on the show in the last 3 months. Texted me that Dorgnax has Bosco.
Really?
So, yes, Dorgnax.
I don't want to drive all the way out there.
Well, anyway, it's closer than driving to New York State to get Bosco. So, there you go. Anybody looking for Bosco?
Well, I went to Whole Foods, and they didn't have any.
Well, they have it at Dorgnax, is what I'm saying.
Dorgnax?
However you want to pronounce it, the store that's at the foot of Veterans that starts with D-O-R. Dorgnax, yes.
Anyone over 70 has been there.
Yes, and including
now, who
Manning.
Said this?
Rob Hudak sent me a photo.
Hudak? How do you spell that?
H-U-D-A-K.
D-A-K. And when was he on the show?
Maybe about 6 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
And what is he? He's a musician?
He's a musician. He's one of the owners of Chicky Wawa. He's a graphic designer.
Right.
He's ran a record label. He's from Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio.
Right, yes.
Right.
Okay.
All right, so...
Well, why didn't he pick me up a bottle then if he was there?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, man.
What kind of guy
is
this?
You can, he's telling you, you know, you can...
welcome
physician
in.
Hot...
welcome
heal thyself. All right, well, let's get to our guest then. because he's right here. All right, well, our guest is a terrific singer, songwriter, guitar player, poet, college professor. He's fronted bands including The Walking Wounded and Killing Foundry. His latest solo record, which just came out, is called Sad Songs at Sunset. And he has a play built around that record that's debuting tomorrow night at the Always Lounge.
Absolutely.
We're gonna get into all that and much more, but without further ado, the great Mr. Jerry Giddens, the great Dr. Jerry Giddens.
It is an honor to be here.
Now, you were on the show before?
That's why I'm back.
Really?
I knew the deal.
He was on the show.
And I asked.
You're just running out of gas. Basically, what's happening.
No, he had this project coming out. And he asked if he could come back. And now he was on one of the last guests that we had at the Ring Room. He was on like January of 2020.
You're the one who got us kicked out.
Jesus.
Yeah. It was episode 88. This is going to be episode 342, I think.
Time marches on.
No, we're not making any money. We get cocktails. It was called Jerry Giddens Preaches to the Choir. So we talked a lot about your first career as a child preacher.
Yeah, and I mentioned to someone that was 70 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I mean, no, 50 years ago.
Okay.
50, 70, geez,
easily 50.
Yeah. How old are you? You Mel Brooks's age?
I quit it when I was 21, so I got my, you know, I'm a teacher. I don't know math.
Right.
I teach English.
You're a teacher, but there's no students in your class, right?
Right.
No, I don't have as many as I should have.
Now, where do you teach?
At Delgado Community College. Delgado.
Okay, but you
the
were...
The oldest in the country. You were, is it
really, the oldest community college?
In Louisiana.
Okay. But you were teaching at SUNO at one time, right?
Whew.
And then and you taught at Tulane as well, right?
I did. I got my postdoc.
Well, you know, I'm curious. So you were teaching before the pandemic, and now you're teaching now. Do you see a difference between the quality of the students, or just any? Not necessarily their how smart they are, but do you notice a difference between the kids that came of age during the pandemic, when you know their critical social high school years were locked up, you know, looking at a screen, looking at TikTok?
They didn't read. I can guarantee you, it wasn't reading during COVID.
Right. So you're not seeing a stronger group of candidates than you are.
Each generation gets
stupider.
Stupider. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Definitely.
And they love it.
And they love it. They're happy about it.
Yeah, we don't want to be smart. We just want to get our drugs and go hang out.
It's de-evolution.
Well, at least.
Because this is the blame.
Beyond that, something beyond
this is the blame for everything.
The phone.
That's the reason I will not let them in my class.
Yeah, this is the reason.
My cell phones are evil.
See, the problem with this is the reason for all the ills of the world today.
Because it gave
everybody a voice.
Yes.
And some people shouldn't have voices.
Don't deserve a voice. No.
Yeah. I'm not sure it gave them a voice.
It gave stupid people a voice to say stupid things.
Well, okay.
And then they get followers saying, yeah, I agree with that stupidity. Look who's running the country right now.
Yes, I...
Well, you fair know? Enough, fair I, enough. Do you think he has a cell phone?
Fuck.
He sells a
Trump?
Cell phone.
He sells his own cell
doesn't
phone.
Doesn't mean he owns one.
He's out there,
unless
man.
Unless it's gold-plated.
Well, the one he sells is gold-plated.
It's gold-colored.
Well, it's gold-tone, yeah.
Gold-tone. what if the tone...
No, have you ever had a gold record in your career?
Oh, fuck. No, excuse me, no.
No.
Or I wouldn't be sitting at Delgado Community College as an adjunct.
You'd be surprised.
I'd have to.
Gold record. I know plenty of people with gold
records. You'd be pawning your gold record
I wouldn't have spent the money. They spent the money.
What money?
Good
money
idea.
What money are you talking about?
Good thought. Yeah, it doesn't mean
now,
money.
Now, over the years of teaching, and how many years is that, teaching? Over the years, Delgado, Tulane.
Almost 20.
Have you ever slept with any of your students?
No.
Okay.
I have not. I thought about it once.
Yeah?
Yeah.
At Tulane or Delgado?
You remember his name?
Suno?
I don't remember.
You remember his
name. And it was a skinny girl. That's
okay.
All I
remember. Right on.
You like the skinny girls, huh?
Well, you know.
Skinny girls are good.
I got
good,
a skinny
huh?
girl right now. She's from Belgium, speaking of the World Cup.
Yeah.
And so she's having a grand time.
Yeah.
Is she?
With the Belgian United States.
And you've got your gold cup, right?
No, I don't even have any gold, much less a cup.
Okay.
No, I...
working on some
but you got a
teeth.
Supporter, a cup and supporter, right?
I haven't had one in years.
Really?
In years. But I always had one in the batting box.
Yeah. There you go.
I knew where to wear
my
cup.
So, geez, how did you meet this girl from Belgium?
We met at Mary Jane's in Houston, Texas.
Mary Jane's. Now, what is that?
It was a bar.
It's a bar?
She was doing the door, and I was playing with the Stony White Punks.
Huh.
That's
okay.
That's the band I'm proudest of.
Okay. See, I don't even know about that.
Yeah,
band.
I got to Austin in '80 with my wife and kids, and then I went out and found these UT students who were half my age and said, "Let's play." And they now two that, of the bass player and drummer, and then I got a kid their age out in the country somewhere.
So well, so let's go back a little bit. We don't need to go in great depth about your career as a childhood traveling preacher, which I love. That fascinates me, but we covered it a lot in episode 88. You can look that up. Jerry Giddens preaches to the choir. And you hear
please
all
look
the,
that up.
Yeah, yeah. But so after you were done with your itinerant childhood preacher career, you were now, and you grew up in the middle of, I keep forgetting that you're from Louisiana. I don't
yes.
know. I always think of you
yes.
as like a West Coast guy because I know you spent a lot of years out there, but you started off in where in Louisiana?
Ringo. I grew up 6 miles from a town of 1,500 people. So we were pretty much in the country in Ringgold, Louisiana.
And where is that in the state?
Well, it's right above Coushatta.
Well, it's something that people would recognize.
It's about 45 minutes southeast of Shreveport.
Oh, okay.
Across
so wait,
the Red River, and then
we don't even consider that Louisiana here. You know.
Well, that's what I know. That's right, why they wouldn't let me do the Jazz Fest from
more,
L.A.
That's more. That's like Texas, really.
Yeah, it is actually. They all Cowboy fans.
Yeah, they all root for the Cowboys up there. That's right.
Except me, I was a Saints fan
right
from
on.
Day one.
So you got married there in that town?
Oh,
or?
Hell no.
Okay, well...
No, I
well,
couldn't get
us.
Out of there quick enough.
Okay, so you got out of there, now you
went to Baton Rouge.
You went to...
LSU.
LSU?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Let's go from there. So you got a... Now, I know you have a PhD now, but...
I was active in the Baptist Student Union.
Sure.
And then I was selected as a summer missionary to Iowa. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, those damn Lutherans, they need salvation.
Sure.
And so I got to Iowa, and in the middle of the summer...
They need to get the spirit.
They need saving.
Right.
So we get in the middle of the summer, I'm turning 21. I'm looking out, and I'm staying at some family's attic. And it's just me. And they had 13 missionaries from Baton Rouge go to Iowa. And everybody got a partner but me. And so I said, how did that happen? They go, well, we interviewed everybody. And so I whatever that meant.
Wait a minute. What happened to the Belgian girl?
Well, wait a second. I'll get to her. She's right in the middle of this story. Well, not in that part of the story.
Well, anyway, continue the story.
I was staring my birthday. Turned 21. I'm staring out across the cornfield, an endless cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
In my memory, there was a full moon, and I just went, you know, I don't believe this anymore. So
good for you.
I said, there's got to be a bar in Davenport. Yeah. I know there's a bar in Davenport.
Sure.
And so...
Now, you weren't a drinker before that?
Not much, no.
Okay.
I didn't. I decided that maybe it was time to start.
Okay.
And
good
so,
for you.
You turned on to the devil's ways.
Yes,
right
absolutely.
On.
And I got on the airplane,
good
headed home after 2 weeks of doing it, absolutely knowing I would never do it again.
Okay.
And I sat next to another missionary, and the stewardess, she came back and said, would y'all like a drink? And my fellow students said, absolutely not. And I went, absolutely.
So I'll have his.
Yeah. Like four gin and tonics.
Yeah, I'll have
right
his
for you.
For sure, sure.
So she served me four right there.
Nice.
I couldn't believe it. So I...
And what did the guy next to you do?
It was a girl.
Oh, it was a girl. You put her in the missionary position?
I wish I could have.
Banged her.
But at that point, I think I just said... y'all probably won't see me around the Baptist Student Union much anymore.
Right.
But I did win a student election because
of your drinking.
They didn't know yet at the Baptist Student Union that what I had become. And so when I ran for some bullshit office, they voted for me.
Oh, okay. Right.
So I had, you know, it's like Bill Clinton had still gone to church or something, except I would have been a, you know, I was even going to go into politics. It was a weird scene.
Right.
But I kind of changed everything when I had a class at three classes at LSU with a guy named T. Harry Williams, who wrote the...
What did the T stand for?
I never knew.
Okay.
But he wrote the biography, the Pulitzer Prize biography of Huey Long.
Oh, okay.
And I was dating the secretary of the student government office because she's my boss. I'm her boss. And so it was
probably
wonderful.
An HR
they were
problem
paying
these
me
days.
To be vice president of the student body.
Really? Stay right on that mic, man.
Oh, stay where I don't. Much better that way.
Yeah.
And she, we were at their family home and everything was going great. And then her mother says, like, having Scarlett O'Hara as your future possibility, and she says, well, we've already got the bridesmaids' dresses. There are 15 of them upstairs. And I went, what? I knew that I had never asked her to marry me.
Oh, wow. Putting the cart before the horse there.
And Harry was from Wisconsin, so he had this southern thing all figured out. And he looked across the table, and he goes, run away.
That was the dad said that?
The granddad.
The granddad.
He was the granddad.
Okay.
And so I did.
Okay.
I ran away from him and the church, and not him, but the
right.
I could have gone a long way, though. Her father was a politician. Well, he was the campaign manager for the then Speaker of the House of the United States.
Who was
Tip O'Neill?
Joe D. Wagoner.
Oh, okay.
He was a Louisiana guy.
They had
a big Cadillac. We'd leave LSU, and they had a bar in the back, and we'd drive up to Plain Dealing, and I thought my dad saw, you know, was invited over with the family, you know, my mom and dad, and he looked at me like, well, you've fallen in it, baby.
your dad did.
Yeah. He was driving a truck for the state at that point, a gravel truck.
But you threw it all away.
Threw that all away. And
to go join the circus.
Yes, absolutely.
So
which circus is that?
I'm not sure.
Metaphorical circus.
It was many of them.
Okay.
So how do you get a wife and child and wind up in Austin?
Well, I first had to...
Leave
Louisiana and go to Hollywood because I could be a star.
Oh, you went to L.A. before you got to Austin.
Oh, yeah.
I know you made records in L.A. in the starting of about 1984.
That's correct, and nobody bought them. But I made one every time they gave me a chance.
I'm trying to find some narrative, narrative here. So.
Well, it was 10 years at least chasing the dream of more like... 15 years chasing the dream from Hollywood.
Well, also,
you know,
where did you live in L.A.?
Hollywood.
You live in the heart of what street?
Yeah, on Highland Avenue at first, right by the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then I was in a great acting class with Sean Penn and Nick Cade.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and the teacher... She looked at me once and she said, Giddens, you dress like a tourist. And I went, so that's it? That's my acting career? And no, two of the other guys, and we have formed a little group, you know.
What sort of group?
Music.
Oh, okay.
I was the singer. And then I decided,
guys in your acting class?
Yeah. And
Sean Penn or
the first
Jeff
show
Goldblum.
We ever did, there was Sean Penn, Emilio Estevez, and Charlie Sheen and Nick Cage. They were all at the show, and they were the only people at the show.
Huh.
And then...
And what year is this?
78 or 9.
God, so they were just high school still, probably.
They were. They just out of high school, but they were... All of them show business. They were born in show business.
Yeah, they were born into it, yeah.
Yeah, so they all had money. And
where were you? What kind of clubs were you playing there?
We were playing an Italian restaurant right next to the club, next to the studio where we were all being taught.
Okay, so you went straight from LSU out to L.A.?
Right to L.A. to be a star. I was...
Now you're looking to be
newcomer a... Newcomer of the year in Baton Rouge.
In what way?
At the Baton Rouge Little Theater.
Okay, so you're doing some acting in college.
Yes, I did.
Okay,
I won just off of a lark. I was graduating from college, and I thought I'd like to try this acting thing. So there were three auditions in Baton Rouge. That one off Broadway musical, the Baton Rouge Little Theater, and one student production. And I got parts, all three. I got every part I auditioned for.
Wow, good
for
you.
Wow, this is pretty interesting. Maybe I should do this.
You thought you had a future. So you went out there and studying acting.
And I dressed like a tourist.
Did you wind up pursuing that very much? Did you get go out for auditions,
No callbacks. I worked on a movie set once.
Hustling your ass down and...
No, I wasn't very good. I did a lot of acting in class, but I had a
let me ask you a question. John Densmore.
He was a door.
Sure,
I guess he was a door. Yeah, an adorable door.
He's one of the best.
Let me ask you something. When your acting teacher says that, what are you dressing like?
I asked myself that same question. I was a bit of a hippie-ish thing because I had just left the straight world, and now smoking a lot of pot, so I probably had jeans
and like a Pendleton.
Yeah, and
or
Jeff Goldblum sitting next to me, in three piece suit and black white, and he leaves his sandwich on his chair, and he comes back, and I go, you might not want to leave that around a bunch of starving actors.
Yeah,
and he looks at me and goes, starving actors? That's the only thing he ever said to me.
Oh, really?
So. It was a tough business.
Well, he's very well known in Hollywood for having one of the biggest cocks too in Hollywood.
No kidding.
Yeah,
I did not know.
Yeah, he apparently
thank
has
God
got one of the biggest cocks. He didn't eat any of that sandwich. I just don't understand why jeans and a Pendleton doesn't sound tourist to me.
I didn't have a Bermuda Pendleton.
Shorts and maybe a shirt like I'm wearing right now.
Well,
tourist.
I had the same questions, but she was kind of like many.
Do you remember her name? What's her name?
Oh, her name Peggy Fury. Absolutely,
Peggy Fury.
She had she became famous as an acting coach because she had been the lead in 11 straight Broadway flops.
Okay, that's quite a record.
But she was fabulous, and all the
she probably the wanted other, you to sleep with her. Did you sleep?
Now her husband, he wanted me to sleep with him.
With her, or him.
That's how I got into class with him.
Oh, okay.
And I finally said, dude. But that was
and her husband was Dick Gauthier, right?
What was his name? I can't even remember.
Said, go talk to Jeff Goldblum. He's got a huge cock.
He would remember.
Yeah.
But so I decided to be a musician after I realized that all of these kids that were at my show were in show business because their fathers and mothers
were in show business.
Very successful.
But all those people are very talented.
And they were talented as actors.
Not only their families in show business.
Not all of them made it. But Sean Penn was, he was
talented.
A seriously good actor.
Well,
day one.
My cousin who went to Santa Monica High School, and her boyfriend was also a year above her at Samo High, they call it. And Sean Penn and Charlie Sheen were there that senior year. They never went to class, but they were still part of that graduate.
Right.
And my cousin's boyfriend named Steve, he used to tell me that those two, all they did all day when they were on camera is just pranks.
Yeah,
pranks
they were funny
on
guys.
People, on the faculty, the students. They didn't give a shit about their grades because they didn't have to.
No, right. They did not have to.
But talented guys, but they love doing pranks on people.
Well, do you remember the Tilly sisters, Jennifer
Tilly?
Yeah,
Jen and Meg Tilly, yeah.
They were all, we were all go to parties, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Sean and I don't remember another guy named, three or four of us would always stand around and just trash these two when they came into the party.
The Tilly sisters?
The Tilly sisters.
Because they talk like Betty Boop.
and boy, we trashed them all. And then one of us, R.D. Call.
Married them.
Well, R.D. Call, who did several movies with Sean.
Uh-huh.
The second one, not the...
Not Meg, but Jennifer?
Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
Loved him. I mean, loved this guy. Uh-huh. And just wanted him to marry her, and he wouldn't marry her. And everybody was going, well, she's not so bad, you know. I mean, she turned out to make how much?
Yeah.
A shitload of money.
Yeah.
But R.D., he was an act. You know, he did well, but we called him Mr. Blue. Because he always, but she loved him and would have taken him care of him the rest of his life.
Really?
But
he had other plans.
He had other plans. He went back to wherever he was from,
right,
somewhere in Idaho, I think.
And, well, you know, there's a saying that, and we grew up in L.A. like I did in Hollywood, and I was in the business for quite a few years. You always look at each other and go, "You seen him come, you seen him go." That's basically it.
Sure,
I loved it. I still love it. I loved it when I was there,
yeah.
And I'd go back there if I could afford to live there. Yeah. And Carolyn, even my new wife and I, we spent 10 years there after Austin.
Okay.
And that in Austin, I had the Stony White punks. I'm trying to get back to the punks.
We're going to catch up on all that and move a little bit more quickly and get up to present day. But right now, it's about that time, man.
Yeah, we need a refill there, dude.
Yeah, we need
a refill. So the Troubled Nation knows the drill. We'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
Well, the clowns are dancing down Rosalie Alley. Clowns are dancing tonight. Hang their hearts on the oak. They bleed and they boast. Clowns are dancing down Rosalie tonight. Well, the clowns, they tell me it's never too late. Clowns, they teach me. Laugh at myself, cry like a fool. Clowns paint tears to make sense of it all. And the clowns are dancing down Rosalie Alley. Clowns are dancing tonight. Hang their hearts on the old. They bleed and they down Rosalie tonight. Well, I miss all the buskin, the blessings and cussings. I miss all the laughs in the band. But tonight I'll go waltzing down Rosalie Alley with a beautiful girl from the tavern last night.
We're back with Mr. Manny Chevrolet. I am Renee Komen, back with our guest, Mr. Jerry Giddens, Dr. Jerry Giddens. Now, actually, Manny, we had some mail to the bar, one of our favorite things, troubled listener mail.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to open this up here.
Oh, look at that.
This is a top-rated show.
Yeah, it is.
I got all the accoutrements.
Look at that. Who's it from?
Let's see. It's from our old friend, Eddie V.
Oh, Eddie.
And he said, gentlemen, and he said, I use that term loosely. As Brian Johnson once abrasively barked Have a drink on me. There Only the best for Manny.
Oh,
signed Eddie V.
He's a good
Lovely
guy.
Lovely card there.
Yeah, Eddie V.
And he's buying us our cocktails.
Oh, thank you, Eddie.
Crisp $20
That's
bill.
How you get on the show. Okay.
That's nice.
All right.
So,
well,
thank
we got to get him on the
Thank
show.
You, Eddie. I'd love to have Eddie on the show. He's Eddie is one of the people that keeps up the reports of welcome in incidents in his locale.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's in prison, right?
Yeah, he's in prison. Yeah. So those words carry on. Yeah.
Maybe that's
meaning.
Where it came from.
Yeah. Welcome in.
I don't know.
Well, get
that
out.
That sounds like the.
I don't
that's
know.
The,
I'd be careful.
You know,
I'd
that's
be careful
the origin you, story I'd, right there.
I'd be careful. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, Eddie. And we love mail to the bar. You can send your cards and letters and loose change to Snake and Chase Christmas Club Lounge on Oak Street. But then if you want to have clean hands or do it digitally, we have the PayPal and Venmo links in the show notes of every show. That's what most people do. You can use that to buy us cocktails and support the operating costs of the show. We also have the links to the Patreon page there, as well as links to the Troubled Men podcast t-shirts. It's not too early to start shopping for Christmas. It's because those shirts, sometimes they take a few weeks, so you might want to get a jump on that. And also follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it. Give us 5 stars, cost you nothing, helps us a lot. And I'll be in and out of New Orleans, out on the road with the Iguanas and Sonny Landreth all summer long. You can find my dates on the, I have the link there to in the show notes to the Renee Coman Facebook page, as well as the Iguanas dates page. So come see us out there and on the road and tell me hello, and I'll give you a Troubled Men podcast sticker. Ooh. All right. Enough of that. Back to our guest, Mr. Jerry Giddens, Dr. Jerry Giddens.
Dr. Jerry Giddens.
So, Jerry, so you're out there in the West Coast. You start a band, The Walking Wounded.
Exactly.
And you have success. You're on a number of record labels. You put out a bunch of records.
Yep.
And I was looking at some of the personnel on those records today, and you had some great players, like Dave Alvin plays on one of them, Doug Pettibone, who plays with Lucinda Williams the past few years. And everybody else,
they were all I was kind of in that scene. Dwight Yoakam and I had the same management for a minute.
Okay.
And we had a great dinner one night. The manager was from Tulsa in the Halsey Company. And he was a great guy. He's not with us anymore, but he and his wife invited me and my wife and him, Dwight's wife, Dwight with a date.
Okay, sure.
To a 6-people dinner. And it was Sharon Stone was his date.
Oh, yeah.
She had about 3 things to say the whole
really?
Night.
She's Look at my pussy?
Well, no, it's more like, I'm sitting here with these clowns here, you know, so... It was wonderful.
It was not that she didn't have something to say. She just didn't want to waste the words on y'all.
Not on the rest of it. Maybe I think Dwight hadn't showed her his head yet. You know, he hadn't taken off his
head.
His bald head. When he did that to Lakers
Now, was
game,
she a star then? Or
oh,
no?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was a star, but barely.
Yeah,
she
no,
hadn't
she didn't
shown
really,
it.
Yeah.
She hadn't shown it all yet.
Yeah, she hadn't shown it all.
But,
you know, I think to me, because I met her at the airport at LAX about 20 years ago,
yeah.
She was getting her... A boots shined.
Mm. Okay.
And there's all these Japanese tourists taking her picture and, you know, groveling over.
Was she giving it to them? You know,
she was, you know what?
The picture?
I got to give her credit. She reminded me of old Hollywood starlets.
Yeah.
She's, you know, just like, listen, I'm out in public. I have to dress to the nines.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not fucking punching the cameraman for taking my
right.
picture and stuff like that.
I asked for this.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of this.
So right. She was... Fucking old school Hollywood.
Nice.
Yeah,
she was great, and I just respected that so much.
I like Sharon Stone.
I think she's great.
Yeah,
I don't know
her.
If she was really understood. Dwight was just a country, you know, country musician. Not
well,
that.
The funny thing about Yoakam, you know, him and Billy Bob Thornton came up together, and Billy Bob was more the musician, and Dwight was more the actor when they were coming up.
Yeah,
and then their careers reversed.
All right.
Very strange.
Well, Dwight. The last time I saw him, we were in the parking lot of Mad Dog Studios, And all those musicians were there, and he marches across the parking lot. Giddens, I got an idea. And I said, what? He said, did you just see Jimmy Dean sold Jimmy Dean's sausage for $1 billion?
We need to start a sausage company.
Dwight Yoakam Biscuits.
Okay.
He said, I went up to Buck Owens' place the other day and in Bakersfield, and we're having, they served me some biscuits, and I said, Buck, these things suck. And he said, well, then go in the back and make your own biscuits. So he did. And he said, I brought them out, and the whole place went crazy for my biscuits. So now, Dwight Yoakam Biscuits. And he goes, what do you think? I go, fuck, sounds good to me. I don't know much about biscuits. Well, I do know a lot about biscuits. But he said, I'm going to serve them like Linder bagels, you know, like in a package
right.
And they did a whole industrial thing, and they got it all started. And then the first batch just went to hell.
Okay.
And he got in a few big markets, the more up-end markets in the valley.
It didn't catch on with the working class. I just did a show where the Iguanas opened for Dwight out in California, and Dwight is still killing it, man. You forget how many hit songs the guy had, man, when he starts reeling them out one after another, and the band is great, and he's fucking great, and God bless Dwight Yoakam, man.
And was Pete Anderson still playing with him?
Oh, God, no. Pete's been
gone
off that
forever.
Band for 20 years. Yeah.
That was a bad decision on his part. Personally, that's what I...
They're both doing fine.
Yeah, they're not.
So back to you, Jerry Giddens.
Okay.
So you're there. You run your course there and with the Walking Wounded. But you guys, during that time, you had nationally released records. You toured all over the...
We had a number 10 hit in Canada.
Okay.
Number 10. Baby.
So you played a lot in Canada?
What was the name of it?
Raging Winds of Time.
And this was what band again?
Walking Wounded.
Okay.
What year was that?
1986.
Okay. I remember it well.
And
no, I do. I was 23 years old.
Well, we had a little hit, and we were touring all over the place and making no money. But having a great time. And
drinking a lot of beer.
Drinking a lot. Eddie Munoz from the Plimsolls was in the band at one moment. Chalo Quintana and Tony Marcico from the Crusados.
Oh, yeah. It was Friends of Manny.
They were in the band. And, I had the best music. That's how I was in L.A. I'm not a musician, you know, so... If you're going to have a band, you need musicians, I told
you. But you were writing songs.
Writing songs, and I was a singer.
Right.
And I learned to play the guitar so I could sing.
And you had that charismatic, you cannot tell me that the years spent as an itinerant child preacher didn't prepare you to be a front man for a rock band.
Oh, they wanted me bad in the ministry. But
no,
I could have
no,
made
moving
big
on.
Money
no,
for
I'm
it.
Saying
okay.
Your time there prepared you to be on
vocal.
Stage.
I was always on
Try
stage.
Try to keep up with me.
Yes.
Listen to what I'm saying and then react.
I'm trying. It's tough.
He's drunk on this
non-alcoholic.
You know, I've been around a bunch of several people recently who don't drink anymore, and they seem more drunk than I ever thought they were before.
That's me.
I don't know, man.
So where are we going?
You and I seem
where are we going?
We're moving forward.
Okay.
So
let's not get into alcohol and conversation.
Well, that goes on for 50 years.
Let's fast forward. You spend time now. You have a family. But you're out on the road with a family?
Well, we moved out into above San Bernardino, up in the mountains for 3 years, and hoped my wife would become the mother, and I would tour.
This is your first wife?
My first wife.
Yeah.
And she didn't become the mother. She went, I hate this. And,
you had children?
We had two children.
Oh, well, she was a mother. She just didn't want to be.
She was in fact, mother.
Okay.
Mother.
And you teach kids?
She didn't get the whole...
It's a circular. It's crazy, man.
She didn't get the whole deal.
It's not me, right?
She didn't get the whole deal about the motherhood thing. And so, you know, it's a long story. We'll make it short. We decided to leave the mountains... uh-huh. and go to Austin, Texas, because I
all together. Okay.
Because I could possibly maintain my career in Austin
as a as what?
As a singer-songwriter.
Okay.
With no longer with Walking Wounded, but solo by okay. myself.
And so you moved there at what time?
1990.
Oh, okay. All right. Because earlier you said it was the 80s, which is what screwed me up.
The 80s of when Walking Wounded was happening. But
you said you were in Austin.
To Austin.
But okay, maybe you misspoke. It's all right. So now you're in
you
Austin.
It's your life, dude. I have no idea.
Austin, the 1990s.
But Walking Wounded, now that you say
it's
that name,
ringing
a bell with me during
the
80s.
We played Lingerie, baby, every Tuesday night.
That's what I got. That's what I remember.
The Walking, it wasn't The Walking, it was just Walking Wounded.
It was Walking Wounded, yes.
And so what kind of bands were y'all sharing the bill with?
Well, we got to where we didn't share bills much, but...
Jesus Christ.
I had to throw that
you were
in.
Already paying the bills.
Yeah, yeah. Well, right. You know, I gave everybody free passes.
Yeah, just answer the questions that you think I'm
Well,
said,
we'd have been, we'd have probably, I opened, made one record opening Lucinda Williams.
Okay, there you go. That's
so Walking Wounded.
That's a name people
recognize.
If I
remember,
recognize.
It was country punk kind of thing.
Cowpunk.
Yeah, cowpunk. Okay, right. Now I remember you guys. Right.
And
yeah.
we got made the first Walking Wounded record. We recorded it.
Okay.
And that show looked like those guys. You know, every Dwight, the whole, you know, Lucinda's, all her people. Did Pettibone play for Lucinda?
Yeah, yeah. Last time he's on the band, I think.
Yeah, he was a big star guy, big.
He plays great.
Gun.
Yeah.
And, okay, so fast forward. You're in Austin.
Yeah.
You and your wife divorce. Yeah. She gets the kids.
Yep.
And then
she didn't get the kid. I mean,
you got
she called me and said, if you'll move back to Austin, I mean, back to L.A., I'll go. If I'm going, I want to go to California, but only if you'll go and take care of the kids. And so I said, I took about a minute before I went. I said, well, give me a minute and I'll call you back. And I called her back in literally a minute and go, I want the fuck out of here. So, yeah, let's go.
Okay.
So I had to find me a place in L.A., and then I took care of the kids while she went to work for Whole Foods.
Okay, I'm confused.
Work works
You're
for
out
now.
In San Bernardino. You start this family.
Mm-hmm.
Then?
Austin,
and then you go back to L.A.?
Yep.
With the kids?
With the kids and her. Yeah, she went to work at Whole Foods in Austin, which was the beginning of Whole Foods.
Okay.
And then she went a big executive secretary there. We lived in West Hollywood.
And then you moved back to L.A., the four of you.
The three of them, all four of us went, but not together. It was always three and one.
All right.
Wherever they were, was a three and one deal.
You went from San Bernardino to Austin, then back to L.A. to West Hollywood.
That's right.
Okay. And then what happens there? She's a big shot now at Whole Foods, and you're just a struggling artist.
No, but I have my girlfriend from Houston.
The Belgian girl.
The Belgian lady. And we're living in Laurel Canyon in a wonderful fucking place.
Yeah, okay. That's
and
a great
Does your wife know about this?
She does, and she did. And
she was okay with that?
Because it had nothing to do with her and nothing to do with, I mean...
Okay, well, I'm glad you were able to pull that off.
So do you think if I went to Whole Foods, I can get a discount if I mention her name?
I got a card right now.
Okay.
I can give you a discount if you go with me.
Oh, okay.
Five-finger discount.
Because I'm a
pro. No, I get the 25%, baby.
Okay. What happened to your kids? Where are they now?
They are my youngest son is living in the Airbnb behind us. He got an incredible degree in California in graphic art, went to work in L.A. for the biggest pot company there, and hated it, and called me up and said, Dad, I just enrolled in Delgado Community College.
All right, so he's living here.
How about that Airbnb?
Yeah, so,
right on. Okay, so well, it's nice to have him close.
So is he paying rent?
Income.
Is he paying you rent?
Shit, no. Sons don't pay rent.
Well,
yeah, you take care of your children.
That's your fucking children.
I still have. So my son's now. My son now is like 27 years old. If I get an opportunity to make him a sandwich, I get a feeling that there's nothing that can compare to the feeling of being able to feed your children. It's a real primordial thrill.
And not only that, they. understand that for the rest of their lives.
And hopefully they will do that with their children.
Well, yes. Hopefully they will. Yeah. Hopefully they will have a child and move to their own homes.
In West Hollywood. anyway.
He's never going back to Hollywood. But anyway,
back to you. Sorry.
Yeah. Wait. So what's the other kid doing?
He lives in his mom's garage in Burbank.
Oh, wow. Okay.
After he went AWOL from the friggin' army back in the one chance
so
he had.
So he's wanted.
No, he turned himself in 2 years later. And,
okay.
Yeah, he's not wanted.
Did his
but,
time in the brig.
Now he's a Catholic.
Okay.
He decided to become a... yeah, I know.
Well, Manny and I were both Catholics. It could be worse.
He probably knows more about it in the 5 years he's been in the Catholicism than y'all do. Because
I would doubt that, seriously.
Well, no. He reads...
Anyway.
It's wacky.
So
anyway.
He's a freak. You raised two freaks, basically. Right?
One... Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. One out of two ain't bad.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, so then you finally get to New Orleans, where we really need to escalate this, or that's not the word. Speed this up, accelerate this.
Got to New Orleans in 2008 to take a job at Suno.
Oh, okay. Because now you were in L.A. before that?
I got my Ph.D. from Claremont Graduate University.
All right, so you're in L.A. through the 90s and the early 2000s.
Yes.
And you're not playing music? You're not doing anything?
I'm playing a little, yeah.
You're playing a little.
But I'm
but no one's watching you.
No one's watching. Well,
yeah.
Walking Wind did, nope. They weren't watching.
Yeah, nobody's
walking
watching.
Around.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking at me.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's kind of horrible, but I was... But I was doing what I could and getting my PhD.
Got your PhD.
And Claremont is like Orange County?
Out in Claremont.
Yeah. Okay, I know where it is. It's
sister school.
Place I've never been to.
Yeah. They have the five colleges.
There's no reason to go to Claremont in any Chevrolet.
No. I probably had never been there till I enrolled.
Right, exactly.
And all the people at Cal State Long Beach where I got my master's, they kept going, you got into Claremont.
Like it was a big deal.
Yeah, and then I found out later when I was there, the secretary calls me over one day and goes, they thought you were black.
That's why they hired you?
Yeah, that's why they accepted me in the department. Yeah. I was a gospel singer from Louisiana.
Oh,
they didn't look at my picture
or anything similar. They really never looked at you at all.
So they thought they had the perfect person, you know.
Okay.
And I disappointed them a little bit.
Well, it wasn't the first time.
I wasn't black.
Yeah. No, I couldn't have been
the first
time.
But you showed up with your kids who were black, right?
Yeah.
They were brown, at least.
Yeah. All right, well, close enough.
Their mother was, Mexican-American.
Right, there you go.
So maybe that's what they were thinking.
And what's her name?
Lydia.
Lydia, all right.
Yeah.
And she was from Texas.
Yep. She was from Pittsburgh. Met her in Hollywood.
Okay, and you met this Belgian girl in Austin.
In Austin, and she's from Brussels.
Yeah, she's from Brussels, yeah.
And she was, we met at Mary Jane's, a great club. It lasted about 2 years. But we were playing Fitzgerald's
in
Houston.
What do you mean it lasted 2 years? You're done?
You're
not married with her anymore?
You know,
no, I thought the same thing, Manny. the narrative is really...
The gig lasted two years.
So you have a PhD in composition?
American
writing?
American literature.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that when we were touring with Walking Wounded, we played
with you
and Alex Shilton one night.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, with you guys and Alex Shilton at Fitzgerald's.
At Fitzgerald's, I remember playing that gig.
Who is the worst American writer ever, in your opinion? The worst.
Well, who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull? Remember that book?
I do remember that.
Yeah, I remember that book.
I think
his name was Jonathan Siegel, wasn't it?
No, I have no
idea.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
The best writer, do you know who the best writer was?
Who?
In my humble opinion?
Who?
Bukowski.
Brautigan.
Who?
Richard Brautigan.
And he was
Trout Fishing in America.
Oh, okay.
And Bukowski was right up there, but Brautigan was simple enough I could read him.
Okay. Yes. Do you tell your students this?
Oh, yeah. I teach them all the time.
Okay.
We teach Trout Fishing in America because they can actually read it. And I would love to
write a book without verbs. That's my dream.
Ooh.
To write a book without verbs.
Just write songs.
Yeah. Just write songs.
Yeah.
Or poetry, maybe.
Poetry, absolutely.
Yeah, without verbs.
Would that be A lot of nouns.
Yeah.
Just write it with the verbs and then take all the verbs
there
out.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what you would do.
I would like that.
I'm giving that to you. You do that.
That's a good idea. Well,
and give me 10%.
Yeah, that writing shit's just about as bad as the music shit.
Sure. Yeah, I would say worse. Worse, yeah.
I decided to get, in two careers that both sucked.
Sure.
But anyway, where are we going now?
Let's scooch up to in the last 20 years here. You've been in New Orleans here, and let's get to the point where you and I meet, because that's when your life really takes a turn for the better.
The Iguanas saved my life.
Thank you.
They did. Rod Hodges in particular, but it made me feel like there were musicians here that I could
relate to,
we wrote songs with me and Rod did, and I thought it was incredible. And you guys, all played for me at the Music Factory,
and you started the band Killeen Foundry. I used to always pronounce it Killeen Foundry. I like that sound the way. So Killeen Foundry, I discovered the origin of that name walking down the sidewalk. And all the if anybody in New Orleans, as you see these old school like cast iron surgeon waterboard, not the surgeon,
especially in this part of town,
like these just things in the sidewalk that are cast iron from 100 years ago or something, you'll see the manufacturer of it is the Killeen Foundry. Was the foundry that cast all those things.
Yes, that's where we got it. Yeah, I saw it and I went, ooh, that sounds good.
So you had that band and you recorded, the band played at Circle Bar a bunch of times.
Absolutely.
Doug Garrison played in the band. Rod Hodges, you had another bass player.
And then Rod and you guys decided that y'all had other careers.
I had to
finish that the Killeen Foundry record myself, and because I had been used just making records once a year like an idiot, and so this is great. Spotify has no idea what to do with Killeen Foundry. It doesn't have Jerry Giddens' name on it. It confuses them. So I just put them all together.
There you go. It's all Jerry Giddens.
Did I tell you I ran into Rod's brother Gary?
Oh
no,
he built my house.
Brother Gary, we love Gary.
Shout out to Gary. You know, he's a member of the NOAC like I am.
Okay.
And I was in the sauna just like a week or so ago.
And he has a huge cock.
And I don't know.
You were in the sauna. No, I thought you were.
No, we wear clothes.
Well, you don't show your cocks
wear
in the sauna anymore. At the New Orleans Athletic Club?
See, talk about bourgeois. I've only been in a sauna once or twice in my life. That's
they made us stop altogether.
He goes, "Hey, Manny, how you doing?" I had no idea. He's lost like 100 pounds, this guy, Gary.
He was never a heavy guy, though.
No, he was. Gary was like, he goes, "It's Gary." I go, "I don't recognize you." He goes, "Yeah, I've lost like 80 pounds," he said.
Wow.
And I said,
I didn't realize he'd gained 80 pounds. So.
Yeah, because last time I saw him was Thanksgiving, like 2 years ago at Canseco's. I was getting some last-minute ice for our Thanksgiving thing. And he was huge with long hair and stuff.
Wow.
And
he might have been a different guy.
No, it was Gary.
Okay, all right.
Because he remembered that, too. He's lost like 80 pounds.
He has lost some weight.
I didn't recognize him at all. And if you see Rod, tell him,
Manny said hello to him.
No, we'll tell you, Manny said hello, but listen, tell Gary if he keeps losing any more weight, he's going to be nothing but a shrunken head in a year.
Okay.
Because he's losing weight by the minute.
Yeah, well, hopefully he's not losing any more. Gary always had a build like mine, so that's how I think of him.
He lost a lot of weight. I did not recognize him.
Gary's looking good these days. Well, so Killeen Foundry, and you put out a couple of records.
A record called Damn It, Abby.
Yeah, and I played on that record.
You guys were all on it with Bingham.
Right.
And then we did a show at the Music Factory. And the next day, I got, Easter, I think, I got up a ladder on a tree with a chainsaw to cut a limb.
Oh, jeez.
And the limb bounced off the,
of course
the
it
ground
did.
Right under the ladder, and I fell down and broke, and now I have a new shoulder. I think it's on this side.
You're lucky you didn't...
Kill yourself.
Yeah, yeah. You know, doing that, people. It's not a young man's game, and it's they're cutting trees with a chainsaw. There's about five ways you can die.
Yeah, and I almost. Yeah, and so that
it only takes
stopped
one.
That Clean right. Foundry Jerry Giddens experiment with a new band.
So now getting up to today, last year sometime we started doing these new recordings. You enlisted me and Doug Garrison. We first went into Marini Studios.
Absolutely.
And did some basic tracks with you.
Right.
Then you had other people come and do some overdubs. Joe Cabral and Rod Hodges. And you had Tom Maron come and play some fiddle on it. And Gal Holiday.
Gal Holiday. And she is part of the story because in the last Circle Bar show I did, which was just right before they closed, maybe a year.
Right before the shutdown.
Yeah. And Rod, I think Rod was playing, and Pete was Big Pete. And
bass player.
Yeah, the bass player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And after the show, Vanessa, Gal Holiday, she goes, "You made me cry on four songs. You made me cry four times." And I was going, thought she was joking. And then somebody who was there, I told that story. He goes, "She was. She was bawling the whole time you were playing."
There you go. That's what you know. It
would be better if she said, "You made me come four times."
Well, see.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing, really.
She didn't.
Really?
But it's the same thing.
Crying and coming.
If you only write sad songs, you know, she. If you write sad songs, you want people to cry.
An honest, human reaction. So,
right.
Yeah.
So she was crying, and I said, "Maybe I should just do sad songs."
Okay.
so
that inspired.
That inspired the new record, and she's still one of my favorite people, and she's singing back up on it.
Right.
And then I just recorded with Lynn Drury.
Okay.
To try and finish that record with her and. Stumps the Clown was on the first part.
Yeah, now what did Stumps do? Because I listened to the whole record today, and I kept listening for what does Stumps' contribution to
I asked
more spiritual
Okay. I asked the engineer to do what he thought was best.
And he turned him all the way off.
Well, not all the way off. You have to have a little
almost.
In there somewhere.
So the engineer was Adam
Keel. And wonderful
I love that guy.
Me
great
too.
Engineer. And he played some on the record, huh?
He played a little bit of piano for me. And even on the new one. Yeah, he's got some on that too. And so...
Yeah, I dig that guy, man.
He's
everybody over there at Marini is aces, man. Fucking
Rick Nelson.
Rick G. Nelson, who just had a birthday yesterday. Shout out, happy birthday to Rick Nelson.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
You know, I keep up with things.
But
Get my finger on the pulse.
Well,
man.
I was just wondering why you were so active
ear
in the world.
Ground. Well, that's how I maintain my girlish figure, you know. It's,
my mother used to say something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not many people use a girlish figure.
Well,
anymore.
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
But I couldn't keep. I mean, they wouldn't hire me full time at Delgado, so I said, "Oh shit, I hire myself full time." So
right on.
That's what we're doing.
So you put this record out just a couple of months ago, or more recently than that. And but then you have the so it's development into a stage play. So it says, would you call this a musical?
No.
Okay.
It is a... as soon as I decided to do that, then my manager and everyone else goes...
You have a manager?
Well, you know... Well, I had one. Okay. So I still call her that, just to impress people. And she said, well, you know, Springsteen did that. He did 6 months at Broadway on Broadway, just his own shit, just explaining himself.
Mm-hmm.
And... then someone else went, well, you know, Neil Young did that. And so that was my idea to begin with.
Okay.
And so
had this idea before Neil Young and Springsteen
did
this? No,
but in my mind, I did.
Oh, okay.
Independent.
I didn't know that they had done it. They didn't bring me the idea.
Sure,
that's
gotcha.
Sure.
Okay. Right.
Because I'm just too cool for that kind of shit.
Sure.
You know, I would steal from anybody. I didn't say I wouldn't do that, but not that.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And so basically I was tired of playing in bars where no one was listening.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get me unless you're listening. I can sing, so I always got that. But
so you're reframing the things in a...
I'm couching it in a different way.
All right, nice. I like
with,
it.
Where you can hear the lyrics, and I can talk about the little demons that inhabit my songs. I thought they were my sons, but then I realized that they were my songs. And they're always in my ear. Where are you going to sing us, you know? So that's what brought me to some semblance of a music. But I'm still not a musician.
Good.
And the guys who play in the band, and you guys, they all know that.
Right.
Because I've been around a lot of musicians.
You're a preacher.
I'm a preacher for the musicians.
Oh, okay.
I'm there to save them.
And you're preaching to the choir.
We're all there to save ourselves. That's what this is about.
We all running the rat race. All together, but alone, everyone.
Okay.
Something like that. It's part of my script. Another guy wrote it, so I don't remember exactly.
So
my script is OxyContin. Okay.
There you go.
I see for you a lifelong of non-alcoholic related problems.
Methotrexate.
That's what I think for you after this hour that we've had.
Here, Ibogaine is coming back. The big debut is tomorrow. Now, this will come out obviously after tomorrow, but this won't be the only performance of this staged rendering of the new thing.
Maybe we'll do part of it at Bufa's on July 19th.
Okay.
I'm trying to save it for when I have a stage.
All right,
and
nice.
It's called The Chronicles rather than just Sad Songs at Sunset, which is the record.
Right.
And The Chronicles will be that. But
will
it's already
the stage production.
Yeah, but my graphic artist son's already confused that with the advertisement, so it's all good.
Okay, right on. Well, God, Jerry, it's...
You guys are always the most... the happiest part of my life.
Oh, thank you.
Sit with you guys, especially Manny, who's a... the star.
Especially Manny.
Especially Manny, because he always looks at me like, who the hell is this? I don't know who he is.
He
but
looks at me like that, too.
So,
well,
but
that's,
no.
If that's what it is, and you've got more problems than I thought.
Absolutely. The last one, I didn't get a chance to really show you.
Yeah, okay. Right.
This one's much better.
Were you drinking on the last show?
Oh, yes.
You were drinking on the last show.
We all were.
Yeah, but now you're not drinking. You're drinking non-alcoholic.
Well, right.
Is this because your wife, your Belgian wife, doesn't want you to drink, or it's because...
No, it's because my neurologist goes, you want to die? And so...
Well, who doesn't?
We're all living to die.
I know I'm going
to
die.
Or is this a way to keep on top of your kids?
Oh, God, no. They're too old now. I don't even mess with that shit.
They're living in the basement, your kids, right?
Oh, no, living in my
Airbnb.
Losing all my money.
You're losing
on Airbnb.
Money.
I made tons of money on that for about 5 years, and now... But he does everything around the house that we need him.
Oh, really?
Money is useless. Your children are everything.
They are everything. And
that's bullshit.
Especially...
that's such bullshit.
It isn't with my
son. To me, I don't know.
The one son.
I got the other
knucklehead.
He's a knucklehead.
One out of two ain't bad.
This one is as good a handyman as you'd ever want. And you know how we need them in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And this one doesn't cost me a penny.
Okay.
Even
he is costing you a penny because you can't rent out the Airbnb.
I can't think about it in that way.
It's all working out.
Okay. I have to. I'm with you.
Yes.
We have to do that for your family.
Absolutely. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a kick to having you for a second time. It was even better than the first.
Well,
even
I'm going to...
Even
gonna
more first. Confusing than the first.
I'm going to work for a third
But
time.
I'm due back on Earth now, dude.
Yeah.
We'll see you later.
Well, are you drinking?
Oh, yeah. Of course I'm drinking.
Of course we're drinking.
Oh, okay.
I've been drinking, you know...
Well, I love you guys.
Fucking 8 years old.
Yeah.
I love you
drinking
guys.
Ponies, man.
Yeah.
Those fucking ponies.
I love them, little...
Yeah. Fuck yeah. My dad and my uncle used to let me drink ponies. Look down.
Well, Jerry, again, thank you so much. And as always on the Troubled Men podcast, we like to say trouble never ends.
But for you, Jerry, it continues.
The struggle.
The struggle continues,
trouble,
yeah.
The struggle continues.
Good night.
Good night.
Meet me at the St. Rock Tavern. We could dance through the night. Meet me at the St. Rock Tavern. We can jump into the light. Got a number from a matchbook cover and an address of a bar. Stumbled on a strange signal. Same.